we can, let's call the meeting to order. Before the pledge to the flag, maybe we can do the roll call. I guess I can do that. Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator Gravaris? And Legislator Ronk will not be here, and John, I'm here. I guess we could do a quick pledge to the flag unless Mr. Litz wants to sing a national anthem for us.
Nope.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America,
to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'd like to introduce to whoever is looking at this, our county comptroller, Ms. Gallagher, Marge Gallagher. And I know she is being joined by two of her senior staff folks, a Mr. Boughton and a Mr. Quick. Marge, thank you very much. And your folks, thank you for coming to the meeting.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, anytime. You know, I want to thank Amber for her help. And I mean, you know, a lot of this, folks, is Mandarin to me. So we have to work through it. I would like to note, though, that a couple of years ago when I was more involved, I did appoint an outside CPA to the 5-member board, and it worked quite well. And with Amber now, it's really pretty important that we go down this road. We have two members from the firm who are going to be giving a presentation today. Mr. Carl Widmer, are you with us, Carl?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you're on there, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you for the introduction, and good evening and late afternoon, everybody. Also on the call is the manager on the job from Dresher Malecki as well. Miss Erica Hanley is in attendance, sitting in, just in case, you know, she catches me saying anything wrong, she can... Mm-hmm. She can catch me and correct me.
Hi, everyone.
Erica was a little more intimate with the testing and the field work out at the county this year. She's been on Ulster for several years, along with myself. So, Amber, I believe you are going to be able to share the screen. We did prepare a presentation that I think will help facilitate walking through a summary of the audit this year, the audit for December 31st, 2019. Excellent. All right, thank you. So to summarize, I mean, this year was a little bit different, or a lot bit different compared to prior year's audits. The majority of the audit this year was performed remotely for the first time. Most of the work was still done at the same time as far as on the calendar. So to start things off, you know, I'd really like to commend everybody that we worked with at the county. We spend a lot of time, of course, in the finance department, but work with several departments throughout the entire county to get the job done. As the meeting this year, the audit committee meeting, is happening 2 weeks sooner than it was at last year's audit. So as a result, a full cover-to-cover draft financial statement, of course, hasn't been provided to this group yet. That is still going through. There is a draft available. However, it's going through a series of reviews. And once we get to a certain level, I'll forward that on to Amber. And then, Amber, if you can circulate it to this group, we'll be doing that as soon as it's available. But the focus on this presentation is really just to give an overall summary of the audit process and then take a deeper look and focus at the general fund and take a look at the activity, revenues, and expenditures, and also a deeper look into the fund balance levels. We will wrap up. We've done it in past years. We include a few slides just to give a little comparison to other counties in New York State and some certain key measurements in data that we get off of the state comptroller's website. One thing to know, since you weren't able to see a draft of the financial statements yet, is there were no changes to the numbers from the financial statements and report that finance sent to the state comptroller's office. You call that the AUD or the AFR report. So the fund balance levels and the activity that we're talking about should be what you're familiar with. All right, to get started on the next slide, we'll take a look at what you can expect as at the end of our engagement each year, the products of our audit. The first being the one that everyone's looking for, our opinion, external audit opinion, on the county's financial statements. The county does put together a CAFR report, you know, a rather informative, thick financial statement, lots of good information, and that's going to present all of the county's funds information for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2019. It's going to have both a balance sheet, balances at December 31st, as well as the revenue and expenditure activity for the 12 months there ended. After that, there's a separate compliance audit related to the $50 million of federal awards that funnels through to the County of Ulster, and that's called the single audit. Drescher Malecki, as your hired external auditor, essentially acts as an extension of the federal government in performing this compliance audit. We take their compliance documentation and requirements, and through a series of risk assessment and rotation of programs, we take a sample of the many federal programs that are administered through the county. We take a sample and make sure essentially that the county is handling those federal funds according to the compliance requirements that those program awards come with from them. The major programs to note on the single audit, just because we won't really speak on it too much after this, the five major programs were selected this year being Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, Disaster Grants and Public Assistance, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, Highway Planning and Construction, and Adoption Assistance. So those were the five programs that we took a deeper compliance look into throughout the course of the audit this year. A couple letters that are included in the final package, first being the Auditor Communications Letter. This letter revisits the terms of the engagement as far as the engagement letter or the contract that we have with the county, and it reiterates the responsibilities that each party has throughout performance of the audit. So on one side, it outlines what responsibilities county and management have as far as the financial statements go. You know, they need to provide full access to all the records. They need to represent the accurates are fairly stated and accurately recorded. And then on our end, we agree to perform a risk-based analysis and testing over the financial records of the county so that we could ultimately provide our opinion. The management letter, this is a separate letter that if in the event the county had any reportable findings over internal controls, those are called material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, they would be included in this letter. Please to report, we don't anticipate having any reportable findings for the audit this year. But the management letter is also a place to keep track of past recommendations that we have cited in previous audits, as well as come up with maybe some best practices as new comments during the current year. So we will work to provide a management letter draft alongside the financial statement draft when we send those out. A few smaller reports, similar to the compliance single audit over your federal awards. The county receives a certain amount of assistance from the New York State Department of Transportation. Similarly, they require a compliance audit on those awards as well. So in that case, the major program that we select is the CHIPS program. That represents the majority of that activity. A few or a couple agreed upon procedures engagements with the jail and commissary, as well as resource recovery agency. And also we do some cost report assistance work with CFR reports on social services and mental health department. On the next slide, we'll go through some of the key auditor communications. So these are areas that as your external auditor, we're required to report to this group, you serving as the audit committee. The first is our responsibility under generally accepted auditing standards. And our responsibility is to design an audit so that we can provide reasonable, not absolute, but reasonable assurance that the financial statements prepared by management are not materially misstated. So we're going to provide an opinion on those financial statements on whether the readers or users of the financial statements can rely on them. Of course, management, you've produced, you know, accurate and comprehensive financial reports over the past, you know, at least my history with the county. But the readers of the financials, your taxpayers, the bond market, granting agencies, they look to that third party verification that they can rely on those statements. And that's where we come in with our opinion. Significant accounting policies and estimates. If there were any significant changes in either the policies applied to the amounts that are involved or included in the financial statements, or some of the estimate amounts that are included in those financial statements, if management's recorded anything or operated under different policies than standard, we would have a responsibility to inform this group. So it's really in the spirit of transparency so that everyone's aware of what were the conditions under which these financial statements were put together. As far as changes from last year, there was nothing significant that would materially impact dollar amounts on the financial statements. We are aware of an update to a construction in progress policy that went through in March, but it did not have a material impact on the 2019 financial statements. Independence, you know, you could argue this is the most critical attribute as far as your external auditors. You want to make sure that we're in the right unbiased position to provide that opinion on the financial statements to the readers. In the event we had any conflicts of interest, that would be a problem. You know, someone would say, I don't think they're the right person or a good fit to perform this job because we want them to have no ties to the county whatsoever so that they can provide an objective point of view. So we can confirm myself, Erica, everybody at the firm, in fact, and appearance is independent from the county. Finally, under other matters, in the event we ran into any issues with not having records made available to us, signing on as your auditors, we do expect full access to any requested records related to the audit. So we didn't have anybody get in the way of that. You know, if we had a sample selection and someone said, well, here's 15 of the 20 and those other five, those weren't really good ones. Why don't you select five different ones? That would be something that we'd want to report to this group because it would seem fishy. We received full cooperation and had a full scope audit this year. So no issues. That sort of wraps up the summary on the audit process. Were there any questions or comments at this point, or otherwise we can move into the financial highlights? All right, very good. As I stated before, this is a focus on the general fund at the county. And later on, there are some comparative slides that include some peers, and that is data sourced from the Comptroller's Office, Open Book New York, essentially. The first graph presented is the last 5 years of spending and revenue activity of the general fund. So in line graph form, you can see the red represents your spending, blue represents the revenues. In the 5 years presented here, you actually went up and down, as far as whether revenues or expenditures came out on top. Most recently, in 2019, you had expenditures rise to $284 million, and they exceeded revenues of $277 million. That was a net change or a decrease in fund balance of $7.4 million. So for the fiscal year ended 12/31/19, the general fund balance will decrease $7.4 million. Expenditures, they went up. If you could just go back just one more piece on that last slide. Expenditures went up $10 million from last year. nearly 4% from the prior year. Revenues went up not even 0.5%, $1 million from the prior year. And the details for the changes in those individual components will be covered in later slides. But what's important to take away is the net change to fund balance, I had said, was a decrease of $7.4 million. When you look to what 2019 budget expected, there included the appropriation of $7.1 million and carryover encumbrances of $2.3 million from last year. So what that means is, on your budget statement, 2019 expected to use $9.4 million in order to balance the budget or to break even. So when you compare it to what the budget was expecting, you actually did come out in a favorable position by a couple million dollars. The next slide is going to look at the same data, just presented in a different form. And what you can see is it puts it into a ratio form where your revenues are divided by your total spending. In government, the goal is typically a perfect 1.0. What that means is your revenues are going to equal expenditures. And what you do is you avoid the extremes. You avoid the criticism of overtaxing your residents, while at the same time you avoid going into a deficit position and becoming financial trouble. In 2019, this was the lowest ratio that we've seen in the last 5 years of a 0.97. But in any given year, you're going to have ups and downs. What we look at is kind of a rolling average would be the best way to evaluate a ratio like this. And the rolling average is at a 0.99 here. So pretty close to the 1.0, all things considered. On the following slide, we're going to show the fund balance levels. So on the previous slides, we took a look at the activity for the 12 months. This is where that activity got us at the end of each fiscal year. In 2018, you finished up with a total fund balance of about $58 million. When you take into consideration, total fund balance decreased $7.4 million during the year of 2019. You end up at $50.5 million at the end of 2019. Now further, we broke it into two main classifications here to show how available fund balance levels are at. So the light blue portion here in 2019 on the bottom is just a little bit over $24 million. That's your unassigned fund balance. This is a number any casual reader, even informed readers, the first number that they're going to ask is, what is your general fund unassigned fund balance? That's the go-to number. So if you're looking for it, here it is. As you can see, when we compare it to last year, the unassigned portion of fund balance went down a little over $10 million. The current year activity loss of $7.4 million hit this section of fund balance, as well as they were negatively affected when the 2020 budget was adopted. It included the appropriation or the use of a little over almost $10 million of general fund balance to balance the budget. So there were some monies that were previously in unassigned allocated up into that red portion to take care of balancing the 2020 budget. Now on the next slide, we're going to get into a sample from some internal software that we use, just some data analysis to take a look at all of our New York State municipalities, whether it be the counties, towns, villages. And if you want to compare yourselves to other municipalities, you can look to all this information from Open Book New York. And then we sort of have a program in-house that we just filter it in to get some good visuals as far as trend data and peer comparison. So this first slide is intended to show the components of your total revenues. If you recall on the previous slide, total revenues were about $277 million. In 2019, this is how that $277 million was allocated amongst the different revenue categories. They didn't increase in total very much from the past year. I think the key takeaways are, of course, you're familiar with sales tax. It's the talk of the town lately. 2019, these were the good old days. They came in great. You know, they blew the budget out of the water. They went up $7 million compared to the prior year. So your non-property tax items, the largest portion there, went from $124 million up to $131 million. That also includes a couple other taxes, but sales tax is representing 127 out of that 131. The other key change during the year was the reduction in real property taxes. The tax levy went down $3.5 million during 2019. Fortunately, sales taxes came in over budget. But as you can see, the decrease in property taxes added to the negative net operating activity for 2019. The next slide, we break down the total expenditures. Those totaled $284 million for the year, up $10 million from last year. Two main areas went up, the first being public safety. When we looked into it, it was really personnel costs, likely attributed to some additional overtime in comparison to 2018. And then down, your largest component is what's called economic assistance and opportunity. It totaled over $127 million this year. And this is the lion's share of all the mandated programs that the county administers. This is, if you want to think of it, this is social services. Those services are mandated. They're big dollars. Much of this is offset with grant money as well. But those went up about $5 million compared to the past year. And the child care program was one that stuck out as a big increase in activity compared to last year. An increase in applicants, so obviously an increase in cost. The next slide pulled out of our software. This was a number that we covered before, that ratio of revenues and expenditures. I'd mentioned we had a 0.97 for 2019. This is really just a setup on the format to the next slide, where we take Ulster County and compare it to four other counties. So on the next slide, we've brought in, just for sake of looking at comparisons, you know, we try to look at, are they nearby? Do they have a similar size budget? Population, demographics. So we came up with Greene County, Rensselaer, Dutchess, and Sullivan. If you recall last year, some of you were here last year, we did include Orange. Orange didn't have their information available on Open Book New York yet. So I'm not sure if they're late in submitting their AUD this year or what happened, but we replaced them with with Rensselaer County this year. So Ulster County, for the last 3 years, these are the ratios of your revenues compared to your expenditures. That 0.97 is your third bar, and you're going to compare across the board to the other counties. You're not the lowest. Sullivan came in the lowest at 96% this year. But when you take a look at Greene and Rensselaer, you know, they've held consistently high over the past 3 years. So these slides, the peer comparisons, we're not going to draw any audit conclusions from these. They really are just some food for thought. And, you know, something to digest. And if something triggers you, you know, perhaps you dig in a little deeper and see what are some of these other counties doing. The next data point that we're going to look at for Ulster County and then to the peers is the portion of total revenues that's represented by your real property taxes. So what we did is on the top set of bar graphs here are those same five counties for 2019. And below it represents 2014 or 5 years ago, where were you? And what's interesting to see is Ulster County has decreased 4%. So in other words, Ulster County is relying less on real property taxes as a contributor to total revenue. So essentially in the budget, you don't rely on property taxes as much as you used to. And when you look at it, We don't rely on taxes as much as all four of the other counties included here. All of them are over 20%, and Ulster is the lowest one in comparison. A similar comparison to real property taxes here that we've put together is on the next slide. We take a look at sales tax. So, you know, two big major revenue sources. Ulster County, 40% of total revenues for 2019 were represented by sales tax. It's no surprise. It sounds like doom and gloom. It's a scary time right now. The uncertainty, the poor performance of sales tax related to COVID is making this ratio or this percentage, this 40%, making it a little bit more important and a scarier number to look at because so much of the county's budgeted revenues are hinged on sales tax performance. And as you can see, compared to 5 years ago, this is specific to sales tax. March just posted to the group, she asked whether this represents sales tax or all non-property taxes. This is just sales tax alone. So the $127 million for 2019. And when you look at it, Ulster is the highest in comparison to all the counties represented here and almost equal to the amount that the county reduced their reliance on real property taxes. It appears they became more comfortable in relying on sales tax as the major source of revenue in their budget. Also to note, you know, all counties compared to 5 years ago increased their reliance on sales tax. So everyone was willing to acknowledge the benefits that they were receiving as far as the sales tax in the state goes. The next slide, we take a look at that number we talked about before, your unassigned fund balance, the number that everyone looks at. We also included assigned unappropriated fund balance. There's $3 million in assigned fund balance that isn't assigned in the 2020 budget. So that's grouped in with available fund balance here. And what you can see is it's dropped this year. We saw back on slide 6, the unassigned fund balance dropped $10 million from last year. That's going to be the main contributor here from going from nearly 14% last year down to 9.6%. This is a number, you know, you're going to compare to the county policy. There's some minimum levels that most guidance, GFOA, best practices, they're going to advise. They've come out with, you know, a while ago had said your unassigned available fund balance should be a minimum of 2 months of a normal year spending. So that would be 16.667%. That's not Drescher Malecki's words. The GFOA has said that in the past. So we just communicate what best practices have been set out there.
Can I say something, which is that our policy deviates from that substantially, and I want to bring it to everybody's attention. It's 5 to 10. It's a range of 5 to 10. And that's the legislature set that years ago. It is not, you know, it's not the same as GFOAs.
Yep. So every county is going to have their own philosophy. Some counties think it's a better approach to maintain more money in their restricted fund balances. So, you know, everything's got to be taken with a grain of salt. But again, as I mentioned, the casual reader of the financial statements, they're looking at this amount first. So if this is the only thing they look at, this is the picture that's being painted. A big contributor.
This is Lynn Archer. Does this drive bond rating as well?
It's a big influence.
Just the unassigned or the combination?
Both. So total fund balance as well as the levels of available fund balance are factors that ratings agencies consider.
Great, thank you.
Sure. Another contributor to a decreased number here for 2019 is also that your expenditures, which is the denominator in this equation here on the ratio, is your fund balance of $24 million divided by total spending. Well, that total spending went up $10 million this year. So it's also going to lead to a driving down on this ratio. You take a look at this ratio for Ulster County and then compare it to your peers. That'll be the last graphical slide that we have for today. You're at the low end. Dutchess, Sullivan are also not very high. Green is up there. Rensselaer has also done consistently well. Again, this is tough to digest. If you want the whole picture, you should consider total fund balance in all of these counties, general funds. But just for sake of something to look at on that key unassigned or available fund balance number, we put this one together. Wrapping up with observations, we've spoken on it. It didn't impact our 2019 fiscal year numbers or the county's fiscal year 19 numbers, but COVID-19 is clearly having a negative impact on the revenue side of things. On the spending side, that's going to vary county to county, what you're able to control, how cooperative your department heads are going to be as far as freezing unnecessary spending. We're hired as your auditor, so we looked at the 2019 results. We're not in the business of providing forecasts or projections, but I'd be lying if I said we didn't look at it. Sales tax on the whole, I know March, your office issued that publication not just a few days ago. So we're outperforming the initial projections for where sales tax was going to go. It's not as severe and poor as they initially projected. But there's a couple things in there where January and February were real heavy on the internet sales tax, that's going to inflate that number a bit. And then also in May, that payment came through with a big reconciliation. It was sort of an anomaly that it came in that high, not really representative of the sales activity for that time. As a result of, it's a huge impact. It didn't hit 2019, but it hit before we issued the financial statement. So what that's going to result in is a little bit of a disclosure in the footnotes mentioning what that current situation is and the fact that the total financial impact isn't yet measurable, but we know it's going to have a material impact on the county's finances. That's what that subsequent event footnote is going to read. So you'll see that in the draft. Again, I'll reiterate, there were no reportable findings over internal control. So our management letter, we do have an idea for two new comments to include this year. One is more of a best practice that we arrived at in doing the adoption assistance single audit program. We pull a sample of eligibility files to make sure that everyone that's receiving the award is indeed eligible per the compliance requirements. In looking at those files, a good number, I believe it was 9 out of 25, correct me if I'm wrong, Erica, but 9 out of 25 didn't utilize a checklist that's actually provided from the New York State Office of Children and Family Services. And while the checklist isn't a requirement to have in their files, it's the best way to maintain those files. It's an efficient way to keep track of everything that should be in there and what may not be in there. We spoke with management over there on this particular issue. They acknowledged that it's useful, and their response was that it's inconsistent based on the individual personnel handling those files at the time. So they like the idea of encouraging that this checklist is part of every single eligibility folder. So our draft management letter will include something to that effect. Again, everything is in draft, especially in a management letter, because we want to make sure that all the facts are straight before it would go to print. So we'll circulate that to those parties that are responsible for those particular areas, as well as to Amber, so that this group sees it too. The other item, we do plan on including just a finding to try to encompass what's going on with COVID-19. We've done it at other clients. We lay out a timeline of how it's looked like for New York State. And then it ultimately comes to our recommendation or our encouragement of having forecasting and planning models in place, both short-term and long-term, and that they're flexible. So you want, it's a lot to ask for, I know that. But in a perfect world, we want to provide the perfect recommendation, right? So in a perfect world, you'd have that in place. And then it wouldn't just be done by those responsible for compiling it. You know, it would make sense that finance and BERT is going to head up something like that. But those reports and projections need to make their way and be communicated to the decision makers at the county and to the full legislature and to this group too. So we're going to try to draw up a comment that says that, you know, in a fair manner, because we don't want to criticize any work that is being done. We just want to encourage it being a flexible plan, a short-term plan, and then making sure that it's getting out to all the people that could use it to make well-informed decisions going forward. I think you guys have listened to me talk long enough. I could use another drink of water. Erica, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, nothing else. I wanted to reiterate Carl's comment about the coordination that the audit took. We had access to the New World system and it really went really smoothly. So we appreciate the effort in making that happen.
That's great. Thanks, Erica. Yeah, that was, so along with doing it remote came an extra access was granted to us as auditors. We received read-only access and were able to VPN in directly to the county's general ledger software. And it, you know, it's going to realize some efficiencies in the future, whether we're totally remote or not remote, COVID, non-COVID. It helped both parties. I think CJ in particular, he receives a lot of our requests. I think the number of requests were decreased because we were able to get in and look at things ourselves. So that was a big help this year. So that's it for the presentation side of things. It's pretty difficult to condense the 100-page financial statement audit into a presentation to a group, you know, quickly. I know it's a half hour or so already, but I hope it was helpful. I hope it was informative. Are there any questions at this time?
Anyone, questions, comments, suggestions? Well, hearing none, thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to close with, I always want to invite this group. You know, we work for you. And while we thought this year went very well, efficiently, smooth, all things considered, if there was ever anything that you guys would desire to be done differently or in addition to, or you question certain things that we're doing, please reach out to us. You know, we're available to answer questions and we want to make things better and make your life easier. So if you ever think of an opportunity where we could fit that role, please don't hesitate to reach out. The slideshow I provided to Amber, if that's available to the group afterwards, our contact information is on there on the last slide for both Erica and myself. So I just encourage you guys to keep the lines of communication open. And thank you.
Okay, thank you. If I might, Marge, do you have anything you'd like to chat about?
No, I didn't really come prepared with a presentation, but I look forward to working with you, John. I did notice in the minutes from last year's two meetings that there are some policy issues, and I'd like to bring the committee up to date to let you know that we have been working with finance under my leadership to address the bank reconciliation policy. We're like 99.9% there, and I think as soon as the CAFR is out, we'll be able to just totally finish that up and get that over. So, yeah.
Right. Hopefully. I saw some of those, and it's working. It's getting there.
We can put some of those things to bed. They've been great to work with, and I think we'll have no problems going forward. Thanks.
Good. Anyone else? I will notice in my haste that we didn't vote to approve the minutes as presented last year.
Yes, he didn't.
Would anyone like to move? That's part of the procedure here. Approve the minutes from last audit committee meeting.
John.
Yes, ma'am. Legislator Archer, sorry.
Yes, that's okay. John had his hand raised, so I assume he's okay. Moving, John, right. Or you had a question.
Okay.
Motion. I'll make the motion.
Thank
I'll
you.
I'll second.
There you go.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's carried. That's the official part of the meeting. Any new business? Art, Lynn, you want to bring anything up? Mr. Gravaris? Mr. Litz?
No, thank you. I think I'm caught up. I'm looking forward to seeing the document. Carl, you didn't give us a date of when we would get that, did you?
A specific date? No, Lynn, but I would hope it's, I want to get something circulated to the group by the end of next week.
So we'll see it before the end of this month.
Oh yes. So the county's financial statements, because you have a single audit, carries a due date of September 30th.
Okay.
There may be extensions out there. Actually, I didn't even look at it as relief from COVID, but I don't anticipate having a problem getting issued by the end of September. So we'll get you something, you know, several days in advance of when we would release.
Yeah, and I think it'd be helpful, particularly on the single audit, to get that information as we're going into the budget cycle.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other old business, new business? Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts that I'll work on based on what the firm said so far. Some things that I'd like to talk about as we go down the road. But thank everybody. If there's no other business, I'll let somebody move to adjourn.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
I'll second.
Yes, Zach, wonderful. All in favor?
Aye.
Good health, everybody.
Yes,
thank
be
you,
safe
John.
And stay healthy.
Take care.
Everybody. Thank you.